Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm very pleased this afternoon to be joined by Sequoia, who is here to speak with us about her experience of being the monastery cook. Welcome, Sequoia.
Hi, Jen. Thank you.
It's funny, Sequoia, because when I was looking at the interview this afternoon and kind of starting us off, I just realized there's so much to it. There's such a long tradition of monasteries and cooking and the central role that plays and all that brings to practice and all of that. So it occurred to me maybe not to steer it, but to invite you to just begin where you feel moved to begin.
Wow. Wow. Yes. I just have a big smile on my face. So that's where I'll begin.
Perfect.
Life is just so wonderful. And the thing that kept dropping in today for me is that, we're all, we're love. That's what we are, is just love. Mm. And love loves through us each in a unique way. And so I'm getting to have this wonderful experience of being the monastery cook. And that's how love has chosen to express itself through this form called Sequoia. And it's just really a joyous thing.
Can I just quickly underline that, what you just said? Wow. I think this is what you said. Love loves through each of us in a unique way.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that your experience is that cooking is the way that love is loving through Sequoia.
That seems to be the case.
Well, I can tell you that eating the food, I can corroborate the... Yes.
I think, the cook is being cooked, I don't know, I want to go off here, but yeah, it's just feel like being bathed in love to be able to do this. And I realized that for a very long time, I have loved cooking, and I've always wanted to be of service as well. And I would fix these wonderful meals, and I'd sit down to eat them, and I'd go, gosh, I would really like, it's nice to eat this for yourself, that it's even double, triple, when you get to share it with somebody. And I just realized today, wow, here it is, an opportunity to be a service and to share this way life expresses with other people. And it's great fun.
Yeah, I mean, and it is such a service, right? Because then you get to, it's that thing where the more you give, the more you get. And you try to hang out the debt, but you get, the more you do that, the more in the hole you get, because you're just feeling so grateful for all of your, and truly everyone wins, right? Because then there's a community that's getting so beautifully nourished in that process of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's interesting, Sequoia, is you said that you've always loved to cook and certainly for many, many years have been very good at cooking. I wonder if you could speak a little bit to the process of, and yet you've practiced quite a while monastically for, quite a long time, and you're becoming the cook now.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to be cooked.
Exactly. You had to be cooked.
I had to be cooked. I think that's the Rumi poem, about the chickpea that keeps getting slapped down into the pot. Everything just unfolds in a perfect time. And there was a period of training for me to go through. And I am definitely, what I can bring now to the kitchen, I could not have brought in the beginning.
Yeah. And I love that piece of it so much, because, how do I say it? It's such an interesting thing that it feels like there's such a compassion and wisdom in the way things unfold. And for me, that helps me so much when I'm in a place where it feels like, I don't want this. This isn't good. Something's gone wrong here. But then to have experiences like you're describing where you get it, that you're being cooked. You're being cooked. And that almost that, I remember Sherry talking, I've heard Sherry talk before about kind of having that little not before I'm ready. So almost like a little prayer of, you know, you could say, gosh, I really want to be the cook. Why can't I be the cook? I'm good at cooking. Give me that, right? But then from that much bigger place, it's that not before I'm ready. And that when you're ready, when you're cooked, you actually can receive it in a way that very likely you wouldn't have ever been able to receive it had you not been ready.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I realized that I don't think I ever, and I've been at training at the monastery here for a while, but I don't think I ever said, oh, I don't know, maybe I did, but I don't remember consciously saying, oh gosh, I wish I was the cook. It's interesting, you know. I was just doing what I was doing.
That you were asked to do. Yeah.
I was asked to do. And even when I was, I presented with the opportunity to be a cook, I said yes with some trepidation. It's like, oh my gosh, you know. And even then, could not even see the gift that was being offered and how it would. I don't know how to say this. I couldn't see how. What a joy it would be, even at that point. You know, it's just everything unfolding.
Well, and there's another amazing practice principle. And to me, again, one of the things I have the most gratitude for the training, which is that training to say yes, right?
Yeah.
Because the process that you're talking about is, this is offered to you, and I'll bet you anything for most of us, the very first impulse is yes, especially, I mean, I love to cook, great, you know. But often we don't even see that yes. The first thing we're aware of is that trepidation. Oh, boy. And then all that that means, and all, well, and then, I mean, I don't, you know, for me it would be like a figuring it out, right? And how's it going to, well, but I don't. But that meaning to go to the yes. And then you get to experience that love, that joy. As you say, you could have never predicted it.
I could have never predicted it. And I heard yes come out of my mouth immediately. And, you know, and then I watched that. Are you kidding me? What are you doing? This is going to be really hard, you know, all the voices to say, you know. And it was like, you know, no, we're just going with the yes. And, and... The voices were wrong.
The voices were... really? Huh?
Really?
Wow. and you know, that is just so... For me, that is I was just recording about this today. That's the miracle of recording and listening. Because, I mean, every step of the way, your practice is paying off. Your practice is, you know, the offer is made. You actually get to say yes. You know, then you have the experience. And then when we record it, what to me that builds is that faith and that trust that, you know what? It always serves me to say yes. It always serves me to stay here and to trust the process. It never goes anywhere good when I go off in that conversation about, well, but I don't know. I mean, what about,
And it's so great to have that recorded and be reminded over and over again what's really true is each yes brings us more into alignment with being the love that love wants to express through us, as far as I can see.
Exactly. Exactly. How love wants to love right now.
Right. 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 So.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fun that we're headed into a to our retreat season. And
yes.
So, you know, people often, just about always, comment on the food at the monastery. And we always half joke that I think a lot of that is that, you know, a lot of times when we eat just in our lives, we're not present to it. And
mm-hmm.
being present to eating is
mm-hmm.
a complete, you know, just makes it all a complete miracle. But the food here is, I mean, we've talked about that topic any number of times, you know, the way things are cared for and how the shopping choices are made and, you know, things coming from the garden. But it just, I said this recently in a setting at the monastery, but to me, it's extraordinary, the tie-in is not quite an elegant term for it. I can't think what a better word for it, but the sort of the communication between the garden and the kitchen. And I don't mean necessarily between the people. I literally mean, you know, that, right?
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying. Oh, there's just so much we could talk about.
That's a whole other topic.
I mean, there is just so much, that kind of communication. And you're right, not between people, but with the garden and the kitchen.
Yeah.
And, and, oh, it's that's just an extreme pleasure to just be. We just have the opportunity here at the monastery to be in close. I mean, to, you know, be down at the roots with some of the food that we eat growing here, and to just, you know, walk out there and gather it and share that with people, and it, you know, and I just want to say, I know we're coming to the end of our time too. I retreat season is coming. It's just so exciting to have folks coming to visit and spend time with us. And another joy in the of cooking is just be able to give people that come the experience of you can eat deliciously and be a vegetarian, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
That's just so fun to give folks.
It is so fun.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's exactly where I was headed in looking at that we're going into retreat season, that, you know, that people are going to get to join us and experience what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Experience
mm-hmm.
that love, experience that communication between the garden and the kitchen. You know, I mean, truly, the greens are out there on their stalks and we eat them, you know, an
mm-hmm.
hour and a half later. Wow.
Yes.
That's,
wow.
It's a privilege beyond that almost. Yeah, most people don't have, certainly in this culture, you know, ironically in places like Zambia, that's much more likely to happen, at least in the rainy season, where people do have, you know, they live more like we do, where they have a garden in their backyard, and that's what they eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a garden because it's kind of a nice idea to have a garden. We have a garden because it nourishes us, and that's what ends up on our table. That's what we eat for lunch. It's so amazing. Yeah.
It is. So amazing, and yes, I don't know what else to say, add to that, except it is so amazing, it's so beautiful, and it's just...
And you got to come here and have the experience for yourself.
You got to come here and have the experience, yes. Now there's no pressure, I can feel.
That's right.
No pressure.
That's right.
On the point, but you've got, please do come, and
Eat the beets, eat the greens, eat the fresh garlic out of the oh my gosh, yeah.
I know.
Well, deep, deep gratitude, Sequoia, both for the service that you're doing for all. I don't even need that. We could just end it there. And for being with us this afternoon.
Well, thanks, Jen. You know, it's a deep gratitude to all. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Take good care. Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sequoia. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. I'm hungry. I'm going to go now. I'm going to walk down to the monastery and see if snack is ready early.
Yes, that's a good idea.
And, you know, the other thing about that, I was just down there in that garden, and it, not only is it providing all this just extraordinary nutrition for us, it's so beautiful. In amongst all these delicious things to eat, here are the California poppies just coming out to celebrate spring. So,
wow.
Magic place.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, it sounds very magical. Mm-hmm. And I was remembering all of my yummy monastery meals that I've had there.
Mm-hmm.
And
preparing
also,
to have some more.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I love that moment that Sequoia was talking about where the yes comes out in response to the opportunity before conditioning has a chance to, you know, react and hold me back.
Yes, come in and say, no. So even if all of that noodling is going to happen, we're so fortunate when it happens after we've said yes, right? Because it'll stop us otherwise. But if it happens afterwards, well, it can be miserable for a little while, but at least we're already committed, we're set, we're on track.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I have announcements here, unless you want to send us in another direction.
No. I just don't want to think about food anymore. I want to talk to you and all the folks.
Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful support for conscious, compassionate awareness, requiring participants to show up to practice being present on a weekly basis. A new quarter begins April 15th. Recording and listening group classes will train participants to access and receive guidance from the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. New 6-week classes start April 16th and 18th. Sangha will be celebrating the guide's birthday on April 21st with a day of virtual awareness practice workshops. Everyone is invited.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Isn't that thrilling?
Yes. Yeah, I saw a list of them come through from email. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited. I actually wish we had more time. Then we could hear from more facilitators and do more great workshops. But I'm just really grateful that there's this one day to do this. And I hope it's clear to everybody that there is no charge for this. So truly, everybody is welcome to jump in and celebrate.
Oh, great. Great. The There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, June 23rd through 30th, offers an opportunity to see directly how we are rejected and punished by the voices of self-hate and to discover how to let that go. This work is challenging, joyous, scary, and loving, and among the most important work you will ever do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's well stated, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
yeah.
Perfectly.
Truth in advertising.
Yeah.
It is all of those things.
And if you are on the fence about taking a good look at emotions you have not been allowed to examine, there is one slot open in the When You're Falling Dive retreat in North Carolina from April 9th through 14th.
Mm-hmm. One slot. There's one person out there who's been going, oh, I'd love to go. And then the voice is going, no, it's just blah, 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 blah. And that person is just going to run to the computer and tell me.
Me. That's my spot.
Me. That's my spot. I'm picking me. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make Cash Show by pressing *6 and then 1. That will put you in the queue. And focus on one topic, please. And about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Well, hello, Bob.
Hey, Bob. Hello. I'm happy to get on.
You happy to be here?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Happy you're here, too.
So, let's see. What do I want to talk about? I think what I want to look at is I've been really watching, especially during the year-long retreats, that, you know, how important it is to just participate in life rather than to be giving in to conditioning and believing that not participating is a way to be safe. You know, I've really seen like...
That's really interesting. I'm just struck, Bob, by how you just said that. It's so clear that the isolation, the not letting us participate, is because that's what keeps ego safe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and keeps me in suffering, obviously.
Well, yeah, it's not good for you, but it is good for ego.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been watching because I've been having a little kind of physical challenge recently, and I've had a lot of experience with this particular physical challenge in being talked into just kind of stopping, you know, like not just not doing anything, not checking out what my options are, not trying things, not asking questions, and really getting an opportunity this time to practice with doing the opposite, which is to try everything and ask everything and not let that you know, that threat of something bad going to happen be, you know, be something that I give any energy to.
Yes. It's funny, isn't it, that I mean, when we step back and see it the way you're seeing it, the something bad that might happen to me is actually listening to the guidance of that negative voice in the head. So the something bad that could happen to me is talking to me right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, and I guess the other piece of it, or one piece of it, not additional piece of it, is the two core pieces are to, like, you know, to participate and to pay attention. And specifically the focus isn't on outcome there, right? Because if I'm gonna try something and it doesn't work, well, that's gonna get me to not participate if the focus is on outcome.
Right.
But if
right.
it's really if it's just participating and paying attention, well, I can do that again and again and do that in happiness and joy, regardless of the content.
Yeah, in fact, when you said, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but like I'm asking everybody everything all the time. I just felt this rush of excitement go through because that is such a thrilling process. And as you say, it has nothing to do with the outcome, but oh my gosh, what is opening up for me and what I'm making myself available for. So all this good stuff is going to come to me, and I'm really increasing my odds that one of them is going to help, whatever this is. You know, somebody coming to me, something coming to me is going to answer this for me, because that's how life works.
Yeah, yeah, and I guess the other piece I just want to look at briefly is just that believing in my own adequacy to attend to it all, right? So, So information comes in, and if I don't believe my own adequacy, then I'm just going to ignore whatever intuition I have about that information, right? And you know, it's even like, I think this is related. I was in the queue this morning on the Project Joy call, and what I noticed was is like there's some that conditioning wants me to believe that I need to talk to the guide. I need to talk to the guide. Not that it's helpful, right? But like, I can't trust myself, you know? I can't, I need to turn that over to some other person. And just how important it is to, you know, just to trust that there's enough here in this person that can, that's adequate to whatever comes in.
Yes. And to recognize that you are the person intelligent enough to know when you want to be in that process of asking everybody all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And the guide is one person who would be in that group. And when that happens, that happens. But we certainly don't want to wait around for that to happen, because what we're learning is to be open to the wisdom that's available in each moment of life, and to realize, as you're saying, that you, in this case, you are the recipient. You're the portal to that wisdom is in you. You're looking for it, and you're going to receive it. You're going to recognize it. You're going to benefit from it. Right? You're going to realize all of that. You are. No, nobody else.
Yeah. It's just super important for me just to have, you know, have it in my awareness that it's just that, you know, it's me. I've got to be the one who's willing to practice. Got to be the one who's going to show up and engage. I've been the one who's willing to drop all the conversations for just being available, and then you know, whatever happens, happens.
Right, and that growing faith that we have, that trust that it's all happening perfectly. So in each little moment of this, there's something for me to be aware of. There's an opening there, and I'm going to see how I'm kept closed by that system. I'm going to see an opening that it's all happening perfectly. And when it all kind of comes together, then we have one of those, oh, I see, moments. And it took all those other moments leading up to that moment to get us to that place where we could see it. It's not like we're seeing something that's never been there before. What we're seeing is always there, but we're learning to see it.
Yeah, that's certainly my experience.
Yeah. Well, that's so good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so
pleasure.
Much.
Okay.
Good to talk to you.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Bob. And Sherry, I especially appreciated that deep looking that comes from practice and from paying attention and being still. And it's just really inspiring for me to hear that and see that in action.
Mm-hmm. Because what we're learning to do, I think, and you can confirm this perhaps from your own experience, that we're recognizing where all of that happens. And where all of that happens, where the experience of all of that happening is in us, which is what Bob was pointing at. You know, it's in us.
Yes.
And it's an actual, it's an actual place. It's a feeling. It's an experience. It's a, and that's what we're calibrating to, right? So each time we feel it, we get a little more confident. Each time we see it, we recognize it. We know that's what we're going for. Closing in on it.
Yes. And it seems to me what dropped in as you were talking is that openness and the curiosity to look for, quote, solutions in any area, being so open-minded about, you know, collecting all that information really helps us to see where I am with it.
Yes, because we have no idea who's going to hand us the key.
Yes.
Right? It may be another human being, and it may not be another human being. It may be something that we read. It may be something that we remember. It may be lyrics in a song. we don't know. But when we're here ready to receive the intel, then we'll receive it.
Yes, yes. And I love that notion that I've heard you talk about, that perhaps the answer is really, really close. And it's my curiosity and persistence to keep pursuing it that will reveal it.
Yes, yes. And that's such a good point, Michael, because if it weren't really close, it wouldn't be in my awareness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Fun.
It's so exciting.
So exciting. And it's so exciting that we have another caller here, Sherry.
Yes.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Michael and Sherry. It's Patty calling from Vancouver.
Well, hello, Patty.
Hello.
I'm making a habit of this.
Well,
I like it.
Yeah, considering that when I was on the Project Joy, for the first two times that I didn't understand this muting, unmuting, and putting myself in the queue, I froze and I didn't say a word for twice. And then when I got on to what Ego was doing, then I started to speak. So I've come a long way. And now, this year's How You Do Anything, I put myself in the queue all the time. And now here I am on a Tuesday night doing it again.
See there?
I'm not letting ego.
That's right. That's what happens to us. And just freer and freer and freer.
Yeah. So I want to tell you something that happened last night that I've just been sitting with all day, and I'm just thrilled to have seen it. And that is, I was driving over to my sitting group, and I was on Lionsgate Bridge, and I heard the voices saying, oh, you're not feeling very well. You're really tired. It was almost like, you shouldn't be going out tonight, and you don't need to go to your sitting
group. You don't need to go.
Right. And I caught it, and I wasn't identified with it, and I saw it from a distance going, oh, I see. This is what you're trying to do to me. And I just let it go. It didn't persist. And I had a good sitting, and it wasn't, you know, I didn't make it a problem. That ego wanted to make it to be a problem.
Oh, absolutely. Ego, first of all, ego wanted it to be you.
Yes.
Saying that, right? As soon as it gets caught, then it says, then it tries to make it about how wrong you are to be thinking and feeling this way, right? What a lousy practitioner you are.
Right.
But you realize, that's not me doing that. And it has nowhere to go, does it?
But then it
and off.
Well, and it would try to say, well, then just go to the sitting part and don't be in the discussion. You know, you could leave early, and just not letting it have a foothold.
Yeah, yes, I could, but I'm not going to, because all that would do is put me home earlier with you and. Thanks, no. Not excited about that.
So it's it's so much fun, as is mentioned, just to see how the process works and where it tries to get me, but not be identified with it.
Yes.
And it just frees
with any
up
of
everything.
It.
With any
yeah,
of it.
With
yeah,
any
well,
of it.
Yeah, well, I get bamboozled all the time, but in that case, I saw it.
Sure. Yes. Well, and that's the fun of it, right? That's what makes practice so much fun. Because as soon as we get the hang of, I see, okay, this is actually an, in quotes, external process that is running all this stuff on me. Now,
mm-hmm.
now my part of the game is to see how that's done. Not to take it on, not to take it personally, not to feel bad, not to feel like there's something I need to do about it,
right.
just to see how it happens. That's it. Now it's hide and seek, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now it's fun. Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Tried to, uh-huh. Well, that was very good. That was very sneaky. Uh-huh,
yeah.
Okay, here we go.
And to not... To not let it talk, you know, the next step, which is to distract or to try and do something or to plan something, but just to, you know, like make it a clean break in a way and not, like, that's what I mean about not getting a foothold again in a different angle or something.
That's right. And what you did with that, because, okay, so this is what you're seeing shows you so clearly. So it tries one bamboozle, and you see through it. Well, it does, it's not like it goes, oh, well, so much for that, because it needs that attention. So it's just going to go to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as soon as we realize that's how it works, then instead of doing what it wants us to do, which is rest on our laurels, because, oh, I saw it, that's really great. By the time I start, oh, I saw it, that's really, it's already setting me up for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be, which is not a problem, but
no.
the fun is in the vigilance, right? So
the fun for me is I've heard this so many times, but I haven't caught it myself and internalized that. Oh yeah, in my own experience.
Yes, and then there you are. Okay, so I saw that, got that, great. What's it going to do now? You're just watching it, right? Which means you're present, because the only place from which you can watch it is presence.
Yeah.
So, and with expanded awareness, it's not like your whole life is looking at conditioned mind. It's not at all. You're right here. You're driving along. You're aware of your breath. It's probably beautiful where you are. You know, and so you're aware of all of that, and sort of out of the corner of your awareness, you're keeping track of what that conversation is.
Mm-hmm.
And try to run the next scam.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Very fun.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Patty.
Okay, take care.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Patty. Sherry, this Q practice is getting very popular, I notice.
Good.
On the morning show too. Yes. Yes, it's great. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to hear from our sponsor, Sherry, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have more callers here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Richard in New York.
Hello, Richard.
Hi, Richard.
I was I was interested in Bob talking about the physical challenges and your answers about that, and it was helpful and inspiring for me because I'm dealing with maladies that don't seem to go away. And so just this idea that you just keep on looking and you don't know where it may come from, but if an answer is going to come or when an answer is going to come, it will arise. That's what I'm thinking.
That's exactly it. Yep. And what we're doing in that, we're going beyond the conditioned mind system that wants to create a situation and keep us stuck in it. So something happens, and I know what this is. Okay, I know what this is, and I know what to do about it. Right? I know who to see. I know who to talk to. I know what to do about it. But then it doesn't work. Okay, and so then I'm in that place that Bob was describing. Okay, well, then there's just nothing I can do. Now, hardly ever does a voice say that, right? But that's where we're left. Okay, well, then there's just no hope for me. There's just no answer. So, and people's lives just get smaller and smaller and smaller. All because we are trained to listen to a limiting belief system that has almost nothing to do with how life works.
Right. And that's it, because I will get very down. I'll get depressed or disappointed. I'll even feel, hopeless. And that's when I'm completely just under the control of this negative type of thinking, which it was so good to hear the opposite of that. Very refreshing.
Yes. So, you know, if I've got something going on with me physically, and I run into you and we're talking, and after, you know, you ask me how I am, and after I say, well, I'm really happy to be here, then I might say, you know, I've got this thing going on. Do you ever hear of that, or you know anybody who's, and it's not a, you know, it's not a, so here, I'm going to dump all my aches and pains on you. That's not it. It's in the same way I would say, well, you know, I have this light socket that it just keeps sparking. Do you know what the, right? Or this thing is happening with my cell phone. And I can't, you know, I've Googled it and I found out some stuff. But have you ever had that happen? And you're going to find out what they know. And it's going to be interesting. And during the period of time that that's happening, that I'm listening to your experience of that or what goes on, and you're going to tell me what's happening with you, I'm not listening to conditioned mind. Not if I'm really paying attention to you.
Right. Yes, right. One other thing, I'm just really enjoying this simple idea that got expressed recently of I'm happy to be here.
That is it, isn't it? That is such a critical thing to remember, because that same conversation will have us forget that. And so I forget I'm happy to be here. I'm listening to those voices. I'm depressed because my whatever is not going the way I hoped it would, and the voices are telling me I'm hopeless.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. And what we're talking about is opening up all the possibilities, because, you know, when I'm listening to you in that way, you're telling me what goes on with you and giving me insights and that sort of thing. When I'm paying attention to you in that way, that the opening is created for the intelligence to be giving me information too. And I'll find myself having insights. Oh, that's really interesting. That reminds me of that thing that I read about. Okay? And so I'm going into my detective mode there of gathering information and clues and that sort of thing. And much happier than listening to conditioning tell me I'm hopeless.
Right, right. And the last thing I'll say is that I have only recently been able to push the button for rejoining the queue, and after going through a period once again of being conditioned off from it and frightened of it or whatever. That little exercise is invaluable, and I was touched by the person who said that she couldn't speak actually twice, and but it wasn't that bad this time. So I noticed this particular time I was going, oh, maybe it'll be me, like a little.
Well, and Richard, that's the difference that we're looking for, right? The I can't say anything, or God, I hope I'm not unmuted. I hope it's not me, or why don't you hang up? You don't have anything to say. We just know that we're in the grips of ego, right? And then, oh, maybe it'll be me. You know you're here. There's just that little kid excited. I want to play. I want to participate. I want to do this. Completely different life experience. Yeah.
Yes, and I've heard you mention others mentioned to they'll be seeing you soon. I will be seeing you and Ashwini and the Sangha soon in North Carolina. So I'm very excited.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay. All right. I'm glad. I'm going to look forward to seeing you there.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Richard.
I think that's where I first met Richard, as a matter of fact. I'm not sure. I'll have to check that out with him. What were you saying, Michael? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that it was just a very fun, inspiring conversation to hear the courage and the willingness that we each provide to each other. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Something the way I think the phrase that Richard used was conditioned off. Of participating. And I had that image of a predator. You know, that's what it does. The lion or whatever it is comes up on the side of the herd of gazelles, you know, and just takes one off, separates one out from the rest of the gazelles, and then the lion has dinner. And that's what conditioning does to us. It separates us from Sangha. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Art and Chrissy.
Well, hello.
Hey, I'm going to ask, Sherry, how are you?
I am happy to be here, Art. How are you?
I'm great. I'm happy to be here, too.
Good.
So, it's been a while, and I sure love the year-long retreat. It's been a lot of fun, and I share the sentiment with Pasha that conditioning is not allowing me to write in the book, mostly because it's not allowing me to be near the book. And so I end up just recording and listening the assignments, which is okay, and which is great, but it's an
better than not
workshop.
Doing them at all, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've been aware of a lot of workshops coming up with kids and and jobs and all sorts of other very interesting things that ego wants to make calamities, you know, that ego is just painting as calamities. And we had a friend, my mom had a very dear friend who had some things going on, and it just made me realize that, well, you know, there is no alternative to karma. I mean, just, you know, this it's here, and it's what we're doing. So, for example, if I'm like, well, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this workshop. I shouldn't have to do this workshop. So I'm just going to, you know, do something else.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it?
Right.
We run out of alternatives, don't we?
We do. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because what I think you're pointing at that is so important. For a long time, it seems like we can avoid karma. So I have a chance to face something, and it's hard, and I don't want to, and it's probably going to be painful or whatever it is. And so I escape it, right? I hide out. I go off. I leave. I whatever. But karma is relentless. And as time goes on, we realize that we don't have the ability to escape it. And, of course, I think that's a wonderful moment. Because that's the beginning of turning that wheel of karma around and beginning to look for ways to end suffering. Because trying to escape it is compounding it, right? The wheel is actually going faster and faster and faster. It's kind of like what just dropped in is an addiction. You know, I start off and I have a few drinks and it's great, and then, you know, whatever period of time later, I realize it's not actually great anymore, and somebody says the word alcoholic, and I think, you know, that could be me. And so I get to the point where I'm losing relationships and jobs and everything else, and then one day I realize, okay, I have to face this. And we all get there. The addiction we're all going to have to face sooner or later is ego.
That we're all going to have to face sooner or later is what? Sorry?
Ego.
Is ego, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The ultimate addiction. So, yeah, all of these calamities and things that happen to us in life, and the voices are saying, I don't want to. It's so hard. Why does life have to be so hard? This is unfair. Or we could see them as spiritual opportunities, right? So we could be actually choosing life and strengthening our willingness and acceptance and learning to be open to life and do that process we've been talking about of finding the support for getting through these things. Our heart is opening. You know, it's getting better and better instead of worse and worse. Was that a bless you moment?
It was. Thank you. Well, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Take good care of yourselves.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
You too. Good night.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Art.
And Chrissy.
Sherry. And Chrissy. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, well, you know, I was thinking you might ask me that, and I was just, I don't actually know exactly. I am happy to be here, however, though. So
uh-huh.
I am happy to be here, and oh, my dog is barking because she thinks I'm talking to somebody that's coming. That's funny. So I hope she doesn't bark on the radio.
We can't hear her, Karen.
Okay, good.
We can't hear her. Yeah.
Because it's pretty quiet here right now, and so I'm sure she sensed that energy change when I got on. But I loved the good news update about what I heard, just that it's all love, and I feel
mm-hmm.
like I'm seeing that a lot. It's kind of, and for some reason that makes me cry a lot, but
mm-hmm.
there's just a lot of appreciation and gratitude and, you know, for
just, well, you know, I've been practicing in a place for a good part of 2017 that I've never been. And I'm sort of out of those circumstances, but I'm in new circumstances I've never been in. So that's why I kind of don't know what I'm doing, because I've never been here before and I've never practiced with something quite like this before. And, you know, and I'm not unhappy. I really appreciate solitude, you know, like I have to kind of make sure that I put that in, like that I don't get overscheduled, because that seems to be easy to do. And so today was just sort of a quiet day at home by myself. And so I guess that's how I am. I'm really seeing it's all about love, and I'm practicing with new circumstances, I guess. And
and if I may, seeing the love there, here, right?
Yeah.
Just, going from finding, feeling, seeing, experiencing the love under these circumstances, and then there's a big change, and it could seem like the love, I mean, we're kind of conditioned to believe, well, the love went away, or a big part of the love went away.
Yeah.
And now realizing, no, actually, the love is all there is. The form is different.
Yeah.
Is that kind of...
Well, it's in that, and it's seeing more things than I thought, because...
Say that again, Karen? I missed that.
It's in more places than I thought. So, for example, this afternoon I was cleaning my car, which I haven't done in a long time. And as I was cleaning the car, I was finding little things that reminded me of the individual that changed form. Or it can be, you know, like just like at the monastery, the nature is beautiful right now, and it is here too, and I can imagine what it's like there. But seeing all these trees that were planted and leafing out and blooming, and knowing they're going to be producing all this, you know, seeing all that, or just little things everywhere. It could be a desk, you know, that...
Yes.
It could just be... You know, it could be a pencil, or a label. It could be anything.
Yes, because once we get it that life and love are synonymous, then wherever life is, there is love. And once we get it that in a non-separate reality, there isn't anything that isn't life. Now, we may not experience, we're very much conditioned to say, this is life, this is alive, and what is alive, by our terms, is life, and what is not alive is not life, but it is life. And the fact, I remember, I don't know who said it, but somebody said once, you know, the fact that we're not sensitive to rocks doesn't mean that rocks aren't sensitive.
Oh, I completely agree with that. Yeah. I totally agree with, that's certainly been my experience. You know, if you sit with them long enough, they start talking to you.
yes, precisely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So that's, and I guess there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, of course there's nothing wrong with that. I guess where I get caught up is that, you know, I just get caught up in like, oh no, I don't know. I just get caught up. Well, maybe I need to get out and be around people today, or, you know, or maybe I shouldn't be, you know, or just sort of trying to evaluate the whole thing, which is silly, because mm-hmm. there's nobody that would even know how to evaluate it or look at it, or I'm right. just going through it. But
may I?
Yeah.
Okay, because what you said is the whole deal. There isn't anybody to evaluate it. And when you move into that ego that is separate enough from you and from life to evaluate, then there's the suffering that we're all attempting to get clear about.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a kind of a, yeah, a looking like, is this okay? Are mm-hmm. you going to be okay?
Yep.
You know, like, you know, just sort of a, you know, and then there could be a little, well, yeah, I'm okay. There could be a little answering back, you know, and so that's kind of the conversation that happens. And so I don't know, I guess my work right now, and I probably have talked about this every time I get onto a show, is that it's just sort of letting it all be what it is.
Yes.
Whatever that is.
Yes.
You know, just letting
yes.
it all
well,
be.
Well, and the difference between where you are and where most people are is that the answer is the same for all of us. It's just that you really get it now because you're in circumstances that you cannot change.
Yeah. Yep.
And
that's,
as long as we
true.
Think we can change something, ego is going to try to change it. But being in that place of, there is no escape from this. I cannot change this. No amount
yeah.
of conversation is going to fix this. The only thing
yeah.
I can do is be present to it and go through it. That's it.
Yeah. Okay, well, then that's how I am, and that's where I am. And I'm very happy to be here. You know, I am really
yes.
happy to be here. And if anything, things are more beautiful to me, more touching. I just, you know, it's a beautiful time. And, you know, and I'm drawn to things now like poetry, things like that. I don't normally sit around and read poetry, but now I am for some reason. And just things that are more, you know, I don't know, just... To me, heart-opening and simple and short and I don't know. So it is a beautiful time.
May I again?
Yes.
May
uh-huh.
I? Because I want to project. Okay. What you're drawn to is everything that mirrors the experience you're having. And
that's really great to hear.
Yeah, that's what we find in poetry. That's what we find in nature. That's what we find in simple. Right?
Yeah.
So the people, you know, the poets that we tend to read are poets who were speaking from the place that you're describing, that you're living in. Right? And we read what they said, and there it is. We feel it. We touch
yeah.
into it. And
yeah.
now you're actively pursuing that. Because it's mirroring that for you.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It really is. It's sort of the, you know, mostly the miracle of just everyday, ordinary things mm-hmm. and the, you
life.
Know, the blessings of that. And that's why
yes.
the desk, you know, like, how sweet is the desk sitting there, you know, waiting for me mm-hmm. to sit down and... do whatever I'm going to do there, or what? Just so all those little things, you know, are just so appreciated and so
yes,
you know, seem so kind. And so anyway,
see, Karen, I'm one of the few people who thinks it is perfectly normal to walk up to the desk and say, "I love you, desk. You are so beautiful. I just love you." And
yeah.
I know in my heart, the desk receives it, feels it, and just sends it right back to me.
Oh, well, that's wonderful to hear, too. That's
so you're not alone. There are two of us at least, and we might hear from some other folks, but there are two of us.
That's beautiful. Thank you for that, because you know, maybe that disc could use a little of that, and it's just like talking to the rock.
All right.
Well, it's just good to hear your voice. Thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And Sherry, you can add me to that list also that loves the desk and the tree and receives it right back.
Uh-huh. The just whatever it is that your eyes land on.
Yes.
You know, it's just there it is. It's life. It's love. It's mm-hmm.
Yes. And Sherry, we've got 4 minutes to the hour here. Right at that in between spot, and so
let's give it a go, shall we?
Okay, here we go.
We know we're going to be
caller.
Fast.
We'll be fast. Next caller, mm-hmm. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Catherine from St. Louis.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi. Wow, this has just been a great show. I got a lot out of all of it. I'm going through a stressful time, but let me just reframe that and just say I'm experiencing a lot of stress, and it's around I'm getting my house ready to put on the market to sell. Mm-hmm. And it seems like one thing is taken care of, and then there's something else around with the house, with fixing something or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then other parts of my life, things are not going like I was expecting. You know, there's no smooth, I shouldn't say there's no smooth ride, but there's, today I discovered someone stole the tabs on my license plate, and I've been driving around. You know, just that has never happened, and then it happened in the middle of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me, like all the conversations tonight have really been helpful, and it occurred to me when Sequoia and Jen were talking that maybe I'm being cooked.
Ah, you're like that chickpea.
Yeah, like you get in that slot, you know, it's like... and then I'll take care of something. You know, I went to get the tabs, and you know, the new tabs, and took care of all that. And then I go to the house, and this guy who is working on the city required me to put up a new guardrail on the porch. And he says, you know, we may have to change some of the tiles on this porch. You know, the project just got bigger. You know, because he ran into a problem. And it's just kind of like one, you know what I mean? And it's like, I'm in the stew pot.
Well, yes. And so this is the question that occurred to me to ask you. Do you want to sell the house?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So I think that's good to keep in mind. Because it's not like you're having brain surgery. Right?
True.
I mean, this is a choice. This is something that you want to do. So question two along those lines. Do you think you'll be selling another one anytime soon?
No.
So this is kind of your, right now with where you are in your life, this might be your one and only shot at selling a house.
Uh-huh.
So why not enjoy it?
Why not enjoy it? You're right, and something else did occur to me today, that I'm clinging to this idea that kind of just came out of conditioning, clear blue, of the amount of money I should walk away with.
Oh dear.
And like, wait a minute, who decided that?
Exactly.
And then the second thing was when you and Karen were talking about. Appreciating, verbalizing appreciation for, you know, the desk and the. I can verbalize appreciation for my house.
Oh, goodness, yes. everything about it. Because
yeah.
it's been a good house, hasn't it? It's served you well. It's kept you out of every storm that's come through. It's kept people from just walking in and eating the food in your kitchen. And you know, it's,
yeah.
It's really shown up and done a great deal for you over the years.
20 years.
But, yeah.
I've lived there. Yeah.
Very good friend.
Yeah.
Very good friend. Yeah. And so if you had, you know, your best friend for 20 years was suddenly, you know, something happened to her or him, and you went into a place of just resenting everything about it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, and I have to be nice to them. Hey.
Mm, yeah.
You just wouldn't do that. But now here's your friend, the house, and those voices want to turn it into a misery when it could just be this huge act of love, of thank you for all you've been and done and wishing it well as it goes forward to its new people. And
Yeah, you know, I'm so glad you said that because I have really wanted to be and practice being a good steward to that house. And that's really where my heart is. That's really what I want to take really good care of this house and pass it on to the next people with having done the very best I could for it.
Yeah.
And conditioning
will
is
love it.
Huh? I'm sorry?
The next people who will love it.
Who will love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can see how I just got caught up in this whole ego system of I shouldn't have to do any repairs.
That's
I've already
right.
done
well,
repairs.
And you know the bottom line of that one for me is that one of the great bamboozles of all time. Nothing should be hard.
Mm.
What a load.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It just shouldn't be hard. It just shouldn't be that way. Well, why? Who's saying it's hard? Who's labeling it hard in the first place? And then even if it is hard, who said it shouldn't be?
You know, right, right. And what's wrong with hard?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah, like I like the whole image of being cooked. Like
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Oh, this is hard, and I'm okay.
And
I'm
go.
Adequate, and people
yes.
are helping me, and there are a
yes.
lot of good things here.
Yes, yes. It's making me a stronger, wiser, kinder, more compassionate human being.
Yeah,
I am grateful for this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now the
all
the,
right.
This has changed
go
everything.
Go get him, Tiger.
Thank you. What? What?
Go get him, Tiger.
I will. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank
okay,
you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. And thank you, Sherry, for another great show. It was fabulous.
Well, thank you, Michael, and everybody who joined us.
Yes.
Talk to you.
Yep.
See you tomorrow. I don't know if we'll actually connect, but we know we'll be there together.
Perfect. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.